Matclad, who we already mentioned for Rust Glancer, also has another piece in the 8chan feed today, about Zig's EO. Threaded, and it's a lovely bit of systems programming explanation. The mechanism he's describing is a way of structuring concurrent I or O in Zig that lets you write straightforward sequential-looking code that nonetheless executes asynchronously. The neat in the title is characteristically understated. This is a design that solves a genuinely tricky problem in I or O programming.
For non-systems programming listeners, the core tension here is that I or O reading from a disk, waiting for a network response, is slow compared to CPU operations, and you want your program to do useful work during those waits rather than sitting idle. The traditional approaches, callback-based async or explicit thread management, tend to produce code that's either hard to read or hard to reason about. Zig's EO, threaded, appears to offer a way to get the benefits of concurrency without the cognitive cost of either approach.
The assembly typing essay is similarly counterintuitive. The claim in the title, "Everyone says assembly is untyped, everyone is wrong," sounds like a provocation, but the argument is substantive. The piece, by Ginger Bill, who designs the Odin programming language, argues that assembly instructions do encode type information implicitly. Whether an operation is treating its operand as a signed or unsigned integer, as a float or a byte, is determined by the choice of instruction. That's a type system, it's just enforced by hardware behavior rather than a compiler.
This matters practically for Odin's inline assembly design, which is what the essay is actually about. If you understand that assembly instructions carry implicit type information, you can design a higher-level language's inline assembly interface to surface and check that information rather than treating the assembly block as an opaque hole in the type system. It's the kind of insight that sounds obvious once stated but requires someone who thinks carefully about language design to actually articulate.
The security incident story today is remarkable. A researcher writing under the handle Lena documented how they accidentally ended up logging hundreds of thousands of phone calls to US military bases through a quirk of the E-164 ARPA reverse DNS system. The mechanism involves how phone calls are routed internationally. There's a DNS-like system for mapping phone numbers to routing endpoints, and an administrative oversight that left certain military numbers pointing to an endpoint the researcher could observe.
The word accidentally is doing a lot of work in that headline, and the HN comments have been careful about this. The researcher's account of how they discovered and then reported the issue appears credible, and the disclosure was handled responsibly. But the underlying vulnerability, the fact that the routing infrastructure for calls to military installations could be manipulated by someone with access to the right DNS records, is the kind of finding that belongs in a classified briefing, not just a blog post.
The Spectre attack revisit on Cloudflare workers is the other security piece today, and it's dense. Speculative execution attacks on JavaScript sandboxes are a known research area, but Cloudflare's edge compute environment presents a specific challenge because it runs untrusted code from multiple customers in the same physical infrastructure. The Cloudflare security team's write-up documents a remote variant of the attack, exploiting Spectre without local code execution privileges and their mitigations.
What's important about Cloudflare publishing this is the precedent it sets. They're being transparent about a class of vulnerability that they've mitigated rather than quietly patching and hoping no one notices. That kind of disclosure culture in infrastructure security is valuable, and the technical depth of the write-up, it includes specific timing measurements and attack code, makes it genuinely useful for the broader security research community.
And then there's the Z80. The headline almost feels like a joke. The 1970s microprocessor still alive. The Z80 was released in 1976, designed by Federico Fagan and Masatoshi Shima after they left Intel. It powered the TRS-80, the ZX Spectrum, the early CP or M machines. And it is, genuinely, still in production and still being integrated into new designs, primarily in embedded control applications, where its deterministic behavior, extreme reliability track record, and 50 years of documented behavior make it preferable to a modern, more powerful, but less understood alternative.
The mesh optimizer performance piece belongs in this conversation too, It's a deep technical write-up on optimizing 3D mesh processing to handle billions of triangles in minutes. The techniques described include SIMD vectorization, cache-aware data layouts, and careful instruction scheduling. It's the kind of optimization work that requires understanding computer architecture at the level of cache lines and instruction pipelines, knowledge that the Z80's ongoing existence suggests never fully goes out of relevance.